abandon free market principles to save the free market system.
In a world of conventional confusion,
There will be time for them to make profits. Now's not that time.
Daddy, what do taxes pay for?
Oh, why everything. Policemen, trees, sunshine. And let's not forget the folks who just don't feel like working, God bless them.
Don't be afraid of your freedom.
Prepare to unshackle your mind.
An idea whose time has come cannot be stopped by any army or any government.
Your professor has arrived. Tom Woods. Beware, citizen. You are now departing from the world of allowable opinion. The Tom Woods Show.
Welcome, everybody. It's Tuesday, January 7th, 2014. 10th or Tuesday here on the Tom Woods Show. Before we get to our guest, Michael Bolden of the 10th Amendment Center, a couple quick announcements. I'm going to be speaking in Houston alongside Ron Paul on January 18th, then February 7th, at Washington College in, I think, Chestertown, Maryland. And then finally, February 8th, I'll be at the Austrian Student Scholars Conference at Grove City College in Grove City, Pennsylvania. And incidentally, if you are a student, undergraduate or graduate, and you have anything resembling a paper that you might be able to deliver at that conference, it's not too late to secure a spot to do that, and that will give you a huge advantage over your peers. How many of these people get a chance to give papers at a conference? So by all means, look into that. You can find out the details of these events on my website, tomwoods.com, on the events page. All right, stay tuned after my discussion with Michael Bolden for my book giveaway. I'm giving away copies of my book, The Politically Incorrect Guide to American History. But first, Michael Bolden, founder and executive director of the 10th Amendment Center. 10thamendmentcenter.com is the website you should follow. And of course, like them on Facebook, where they've got 8 gazillion likes. And I'm so glad to welcome Michael Bolden to 10th or Tuesday. Michael Bolden, thanks for being here.
This is awesome. The first in what will be probably, what, like 10, 15 years of 10th or Tuesday, right? Make sure you get your hashtags ready.
That's right. People will be going back, re-listening to this one again and again, right? This is where it all began. All right. I want to just ask you, as the head of the 10th Amendment Center, what you think the most interesting issue or issues right now around the country pertaining to nullification would be.
Well, I mean, you say where it all began. I think we can take that right into what happened last week in Colorado and marijuana. Because if you want to talk about the 10th Amendment and using state nullification, there's nothing that demonstrates how it plays out better today than what happened in Colorado last week. On January 1st, there it is, a holiday, legalization of marijuana went into effect. And here's what a friend of one of our supporters sent in. He says, so one of the stores across the street from my house is legally selling marijuana. It opened at 8 a.m. There are approximately 2,000 people in line at 8:30. Happy New Year. Now, keep in mind, Tom, and listeners here, you all probably already know, the federal government says that you can't own this naturally growing plant. A store can't sell it. You can't consume it. You can't grow it. You can't trade it. All these normal market responses for when the market wants something, the federal government for decades has said this market doesn't exist. Well, it's my view that when enough people say, hey, we want to do something different than government, the market's going to win out. And that's a great example of how state-level bills, what we call nullification, are extremely effective.
Isn't that interesting that that's going on, and that we'll get to the NSA in a minute, but the NSA is also being targeted by nullification-style approaches, and yet I still read in Mother Jones, which of course I don't read regularly, the idea that nullification is all about slavery. I mean, in 2014, you can still be so thick as to think this is about slavery. I mean, is Mother Jones like a CIA front or something?
I mean, I don't know. And it's what's fascinating is that some of these folks will then make the claim, because they don't want any of their issues to be associated with the word nullification, they'll say, well, this has nothing to do with state nullification.
No, of course not. No.
No, this is because Barack Obama, bless us, by not enforcing federal laws. Well, that is a load of garbage if I ever heard it. The facts prove otherwise, because Barack Obama and the DEA under his administration have attempted and spent more money, have attempted more enforcement raids than any president in American history. They made George Bush look like a clown with the amount that they've spent and the number of raids that they've done, but they just can't do it. When 21 states, 20 and a half, we'll say, because Maryland's not really there yet, but when all these states say no and all these people participated in a market that say no to the federal government, there's very little that Barack Obama or George Bush or any of these people can really do to stop it. And that's what I think folks who believe in liberty, I can't imagine anyone calling themselves a libertarian and at the same time taking a view that, well, government's more powerful than markets. The bottom line is, when the market acts, sooner or later, the market's going to win.
Well, and of course, this is something. When you talk about marijuana, you get people sometimes feeling a little uneasy, like conservatives feel uneasy because they feel like, well, I'm supposed to favor the states, but on the other hand, I don't like all these potheads, so I'm kind of torn. You know, they have that kind of attitude. But what's actually unfolding here, first of all, is a reminder of the old adage of mind your own business, which is a great conservative
right.
principle. But secondly, how do you think homeschooling took off? Precisely in the same way. A mass movement of people just found there was an inconsistency between their beliefs and what the official rules were. And so they ignored the rules, and it got to a point where the numbers were so great that if the government ever attempted to enforce the rules, they would be utterly routed. And every time that happens, I don't care if it's drugs or whatever, I'm thrilled to observe that phenomenon in action.
Well, that's important that you point out the numbers. And one of our great new bloggers over at the 10th Amendment Center, a lady named Susie Tennyson, did some research, and she found some reporting from a group called Americans for Safe Access. And that they did a tabulation of how much each federal raid on marijuana costs. It's about $300,000 per raid and about $12 million in investigative costs. So you know what? To shut down just one city like Denver, where there's 400 legal stores, mostly dispensaries for medical right now, would take more than double the entire yearly budget of the DEA. If you've ever seen the movie THX 1138, or if you haven't, you really got to see it. This is a great story about the power of the state and how eventually, when they run out of resources, they just let you go. I don't want to give away the end of the story, but those of you who have seen this know what I'm talking about. Eventually, they run out of what they call credits or dollars to be able to pay for the enforcement against this individual trying to get away from their grips. And they stop. And this is what we see happening on the issue of marijuana. Now, we've been monitoring this type of thing for years over the 10th Amendment Center and putting this type of blueprint into practice for anything. Not everyone thinks weed is the most important thing for them, but some people do. And like you said, Tom, we should applaud them when they decide to live more freely without approval of Washington, D.C. But this can be put into practice on just about any issue. It doesn't matter if it's Obamacare or the right to keep and bear arms or drones or hemp or weed or, if you get down to it, resisting war, states can pass legislation that make it more difficult for the federal government to occupy foreign countries. But, we can go on and on about this stuff.
Well, let's talk about the NSA issue, because I had Mike Meharry on this program maybe a month or so ago, talking about the initiative you guys are spearheading there. It's not just the 10th Amendment Center. There are other people, but you guys are probably the creators of the whole thing, if I'm right about that. How's that going? And for people who may not have heard that program, can you just give us the rundown on what your strategy is? Because it doesn't immediately seem obvious how one would go about nullifying the NSA.
Well, if you think about what nullification is, it's really all about rendering federal acts, I guess you can nullify an individual or a local level, but if we're focusing on the federal government, we're talking about rendering those federal acts unenforceable. We don't care if the Congress overturns them or the Supreme Court agrees with us. We'll use their opinions in our favor when we can, but that's pretty rare. The fact of the matter is we want to find ways to make things extremely difficult for the NSA, and we know from their own inside sources that as far back as 2006, they were very concerned about natural resources. They maxed out the power grid in the Baltimore area, and that in order for them to expand, I mean, I think they would have expanded bigger and faster back then if they could have, but they had the physical limitation of not having enough electricity to store all the data they wanted to collect. So they went out on a huge search for new locations. They opened up the new data center in Utah. It needs a lot of water resources in order to be able to store all the information it's collecting on you and I and everyone else around the world. They're opening a new one in San Antonio, expanding ones in Hawaii and Georgia and Tennessee and Maryland and elsewhere. So we have a plan that would take the states and say, here's some legislation that says the state is not going to participate in this. We're not going to, in Utah. We expect a bill to be introduced in Utah very soon, and the legislation would say, we're not going to provide you with the water that you need. And the bottom line is the NSA needs the water to keep the supercomputers cool, and as our ads on this say, it says, no water equals no data center. That will make it extremely difficult. But I mean, there's other ways as well. So there's information sharing. The NSA wants to take all, I mean, the NSA is collecting all this information, but how does, beyond just that violation of our privacy, they want to harm us even further by taking that information and sharing it with state and local law enforcement for use in non-terror, regular criminal investigations. Reuters released, I think it was sometime in September of 2013, secret documents that came out that said that the NSA is working with a special division, a secret place called the Special Operations Division. And these guys are taking information from NSA and handing it off to state and local law enforcement. Well, this type of legislation on a state level would say, no, this is no longer going to be allowed. And while we can't necessarily get states to physically stop the data collection, we can reduce significantly the impact of how that data collection is actually used in practice. And then in those locations where there are data collection centers, we can maybe shut them down if we get some people with the backbone to be able to say, we're not going to participate.
Michael, I have to ask you, because you've posted this on Facebook from time to time, how do you deal with some of the libertarians who are naysayers about everything? That nothing will ever work. Everything you try is a waste of time, but my sitting here at my computer posting discouraging messages is probably the best use of everybody's time. Like, how do you deal with that on a personal level and practically?
Well, I mean, I think you're understating it when you say some of the libertarians. In my experience, it's almost every libertarian I run into. I don't want to talk about people in groups, but I find if I was going to group people, the amount of people who are extremely negative about the possibility for a more free future are people who believe in liberty and recognize the dangers around us the most. But maybe that's a natural outcome, because only libertarians recognize the nuances in every single government action and how evil they are. They see, you know, they see the gun in hand at every turn. So after a while, it becomes discouraging. And Murray Rothbard wrote about this a long time ago when he talked about having to, the great task for the libertarian is to shed off his needless and debilitating negativity and set your sights on long-term victory. And that's the type of attitude I have to hold on to. And then when I hear great people like Ron Paul talking about these actions, whether it's just straight non-compliance on federal marijuana laws as being a great act of nullification, or Mark Thornton of Mises Institute recently wrote the same thing, the people of Colorado and Washington are effectively nullifying federal drug laws, I realize that, you know, this type of message, if you repeat it enough and enough and enough, maybe we'll break through some of that negativity, some of that fear of the power of the state, and re-encourage people to have faith and belief in the market, because the market will win. It's just a matter of us to get the word out there. It's advertising.
All right, I want to talk about a couple political candidates, and I know this is not really your cup of tea, but where would be the fun if I just threw softballs at you the whole time? There's a guy.
Okay, can I give a free qualifier? I don't like any of them.
Yeah. Okay, but hold on now. Hold on. There's a guy running for U.S. Senate in North Carolina that I like very much, named Greg Brannon. And he's a doctor.
Yeah,
he's an OB like Ron Paul, except he's delivered 9,000 babies. So I actually told Ron Paul when I had him on this program, I said, he makes you look like a lazy bum. But anyway, I mean, here's a guy who, he's gone around the world to third world countries to train doctors, right? So, I mean, oh, this guy must be stopped, right? I mean, he's about as decent and sweet a guy as you could imagine. I mean, I like him. I think he's sincere. I've talked to him quite a bit. He subscribes to my libertyclassroom.com. I mean, like that.
Even
I think,
better.
Yeah, like that's sincere. I take that as sincere. Well, anyway, he favors nullification, as any right-thinking person does. So, of course, he's been savaged for this in the left-wing media. You know, which on the one, you know, there's no cognitive dissonance here at all, right? They're on the one hand, they're cheering for Colorado, and on the other hand, they're condemning this guy as extreme. Like, I always want to ask, extremely what? Like, if it's extremely awesome, then I want to be extreme. Like, what's extremely what? Well, anyway, I bring this up because he got hit. He couldn't care less. He's having a blast. He couldn't care less. He's doing great in the polls compared to the other Republicans in that race. But then now in Oklahoma, it's just been announced that Randy Brogdon is running for governor. Randy Brogdon was a speaker at our first event that you and I did. You put it on, but I was a speaker there at Nullify Now in 2010. And he is all for nullification, and now he is running for governor. He's well-liked. He's well-known. He's got a strong base behind him. Is it possible, do you think, for people like this to get elected, even though they're going to inevitably be hit by the they-must-support-slavery sort of thing?
Yeah, well, some of these people do get elected, and of course, we want to encourage anyone who's speaking, doing, supporting the right thing. So anybody that's a subscriber to Liberty Classroom, unless, you know, our good friend Ian Millhiser has signed up just to find out what evil things you're doing, Tom, I'm personally in favor of folks that are interested in learning and doing the right thing. So people like Greg Brennan, who spoke at our Nullify Now event in Raleigh, or Randy Brogdon, who gave one of my favorite nullification speeches ever. No slight to you, of course, Tom, but I loved Randy's speech there at Fort Worth in 2010. These are good people. And if we follow Hans Hermann Hoppe's advice from the great speech that he gave years ago, the most effective type of political activism that he said was to be more focused on decentralized things. You know, the bottom-up revolution is what he called it. I can't remember the name of the e-book over at Mises, but he said, you know, if you're going to get involved in politics, avoid the national-level contest as much as possible. So avoid presidential campaigns more than you would senatorial campaigns, more than you would state level and down onto local, because the closer you are to the individual, the greater chance you're going to have in taking action to do something that advances liberty. And this was in a speech talking about what anarcho-capitalists should do to fight the modern state. And I think Hoppe's got pretty good cred on that.
Yeah, I think so too. All right, tell me what else the 10th Amendment Center is watching these days, or perhaps more than watching, making happen.
Well, so I mentioned previously that we look at this Colorado, the marijuana thing, as a blueprint. And we certainly do that when you get enough states saying we're not going to participate with certain federal acts, we may actually do things to flat out defy them. It renders those federal acts virtually unenforceable, as we are seeing with 2,000 people first thing in the morning on New Year's Day lining up for an illegal business in Colorado. So we're putting that into practice. We have been for a number of years, but ramping it up on issues across the political spectrum. One of the hot ones right now is Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. There are states like South Carolina who have already passed a bill in the state house. They're fast-tracking in the state senate to refuse to comply with any part of Obamacare. They're not going to participate. Judge Napolitano was on Fox News recently. They're basing the legislation off of what we call our four-step plan over at 10thamendmentcenter.com/Obamacare. And Judge Knapp said, if you get enough states doing this, not participating, not creating the exchanges, not expanding Medicaid, et cetera, it would, quote, gut Obamacare. I think it'll put it in the grave, but I think gutting any federal action is a pretty good step. And that's one of the big things we're working on. Obviously, we talked about NSA. There's a legislation that was just introduced last week in both New Hampshire and Kansas. We expect bills introduced in anywhere from 7 to 10 other states around the country in the next couple of weeks to month or two. There's states that are going to be considering legislation to nullify federal gun control measures across the board. Kansas this last year was one of the leaders in that. They passed a bill that effectively said we're not going to enforce any federal gun control measure on the books at all, past, present, or future. Now, the key is, when you get one of these pieces of legislation passed, we're not saying that we trust the state to do the right thing. Sometimes these politicians are just blowhards. That's an understatement, of course. But when you create this climate and encourage people to start defying federal acts, you can see a lot of good things grow. And I'm not saying that as a pun because of the weed thing either.
All right. Now, you've got the 10th Amendment Center's Facebook page up to how many likes is it now?
120,000 or so.
Yeah. I mean, that's... And again, you were one guy, and you just started it, and there's no D.C. think tank that's giving you money. To the contrary, they want to probably shut you down if they had the power to. And
let me tell you, though, I would take that think tank money.
Why not, right? And spend it on something good for a change. Instead of the chauffeur for the president of the think tank, you'll actually put it to some good use.
I would get a town car.
Well, look. I mean, what I want to know is what kind of expansion are you guys doing? I mean, you've now had state chapters forming. Are there going to be more state chapters forming? Is that, in other words, do you find that are you guys sort of just treading water, or do you feel like it's grown by leaps and bounds? Or is it, I mean, I know that you're working ridiculously long hours every single day. Just fill me in on the day to day, what's going on, and what the plans are for 2014.
We are growing ridiculously, and we're growing, and anyone who's operated a business that succeeds, there's a point where the business is in trouble because it grows faster than what it's capable of growing, and we're certainly at that point. We've got great outreach. We have huge impact. We have Democrats that have contacted us, Republicans that contact us, asking for our model legislation and for talking points. When you're getting to that point, I think you're doing really, really good stuff, because you start seeing across the political boundaries. Organizations, we work with organizations across the political spectrum, from Tea Party groups to the ACLU to 99% Coalition. We're focusing primarily on building single issue campaigns and coalitions, recognizing that almost no one's going to agree with us as being a tenther on every issue like we do. Because, like you said, there's a lot of conservatives who say, well, you know, I don't want to touch the marijuana thing. Well, don't. Work with us against Obamacare or in support of the right to keep and bear arms. And we'll make inroads on that. And then so the people on the left that want to keep Obamacare, we'll work with them on marijuana and against drones or other issues like hemp and things like that. And the more that we find people coming together over a single issue, I think there's a bigger thing that happens. A lot of times you'll find that people who thought they hated each other recognize that, you know what, that person in that political group really isn't so bad. Maybe they're not the enemy, like I keep getting told they are. And I think that is a bigger picture, maybe a little esoteric, a little hippie, but... to me, that's very moving when I see it happen.
Yeah, I agree. I agree completely, even though it doesn't happen as often as we might like, but that is very nice to see. I think the whole Ron Paul presidential campaign brought a lot of people together who thought they weren't going to like each other or get along. I can't resist asking you one more thing, though. It seems like since the 10th Amendment Center has been out in front on so much of this decentralization effort and all these state-level initiatives and laws that are being attempted, legislation that's being attempted to get passed, you guys have been at the forefront of it. It seems to me that you, Michael Bolden, should be getting invites all the time from Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly and all the right-wing TV people. And yet, I have a sneaking feeling that they pretend you don't exist. But I thought they favored limited government and states' rights and all that. I thought that's what they favored. Please try to explain this to a naive like me.
Wow, I don't even know where to go with that, because it's such an awesome question. No, these people don't want to talk about limited government. And in fact, Heritage Foundation has been kind of at the forefront of opposing anything to do with limiting federal government except through their way, which is through centralized power. These people are lovers of centralized power, and I believe personally that they'll talk about limited government to gain support from so many people that like the idea of limiting power. But when it comes to real concrete solutions, they avoid it like the plague. You dealt with this with the release of your book, Nullification, Tom, and we've been dealing with it for many years. When the Tea Party thing, at least the Republican version and the non-Ron Paul Tea Party, kicked off, there was some interest. We were talking to producers at CNN and Glenn Beck's show pretty regularly, but once they started hearing what we had to say, the phone call stopped.
Yeah. Isn't that something else? So I have sometimes used that, and I've taken the opportunity at your events to use that as a I don't know, an educational moment for some of the people there that, you know, I know you probably have good intentions in listening to or watching such and such person, but don't you find it kind of funny that this person never talks about the issue that really has got you all interested and you've shown up for this event? And actually, this person would be liable to call you a crazy extremist. I mean, like, whose side is this person on? So, you know, you get them thinking fun things like that. All right, listen, I'm going to let you get going. I appreciate your time, Michael Bolden. We're going to have you guys. I want at least once a month, we're going to do 10th or Tuesday with you or with one of your one of the people you delegate this to. And best of luck this year.
All right, hashtag 10th or Tuesday. Thanks, Tom.
All right, thanks a lot, Michael. All right, everybody, check out TenthAmendmentCenter.com. And for more resources and information on nullification, check out my frequently asked questions page, NullificationFAQ.com, and also my StateNullification.com. That'll give you a lot of information on the subject, not to mention my book, Nullification, which you might also enjoy. Speaking of books, I'm giving away copies of The Politically Incorrect Guide to American History. It's been 10 years since the release of that book, which was a New York Times bestseller for 12 weeks, much to the chagrin and frustration of the New York Times itself. How do you get your free copy? By joining my LibertyClassroom.com this month. January 2014, LibertyClassroom.com is a site where once you join, you get access to all the courses we have. These are courses on history and economics and philosophy, taught the way you should have been taught them in school, but probably weren't. This is the real thing, the real stuff that you can listen to while driving your car. And if you have any questions, you can ask them in our Q&A forums for a full year. So check that out at LibertyClassroom.com. And if you want that free book, just drop me a line on the contact page saying, "Hey, you bum, where's my free book?" Tomorrow on this program, Julie Borowski will join us. And don't forget, help us keep the lights on here in our Tom Woods Show office by entering Amazon through the Amazon widget at TomWoodsRadio.com. Make sure you don't have an ad blocker on or you won't be able to see it. But TomWoodsRadio.com, enter Amazon from there, and at no cost to you, you can help us pay our bills. We sure appreciate you folks who are helping us out. All right, see you all tomorrow. Thanks for listening.
The Tom Woods Show.